Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome, everyone, to the earnings call for the second quarter 2020 of CESP. We'd like to inform you that this event is being recorded. We are also broadcasting live over webcast with the respective video stream, audio track, and respective slide deck that can be accessed at the company's IR website at www.ri.cesp.com.br. After the company's presentation, there will be a session for Q&A for analysts and investors through the telephone or through the webcast. For questions received over the phone, we'll open a line specifically for the person to formulate the question. Questions that come through webcast should be sent in writing within the very platform of webcast. Before moving on, we'd like to state that forward-looking statements made during this call concerning the company's business perspectives and also projections and operating and financial targets are based on beliefs and assumptions on the part of the company's management, as well as on information currently available. Forward-looking statements are no guarantee of performance as they involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions as they refer to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not materialize. Investors should have in mind that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors might affect the future performance of the company and thus lead to results that will differ materially from these expressed in these forward-looking statements. Here with us today, we have Mr. Mario Bertoncini, CEO and IRO, and Mr. Marcelo de Jesus, CFO. I'd like to turn the conference over to Mr. Bertoncini, who will start the presentation. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for participating, for being here with us, for attending. We'll start with our earnings call for the second quarter of 2020 on page four of the slide deck, where we update our COVID situation. Right now, we remain with 82% of our employees working from home, focused on operation, on maintenance of our power plants. We have a recovery plan in place, already formatted, but we're waiting for the best date to implement that recovery. We have not defined what will happen throughout the next 2 months, we believe. As for the customer profile and the COVID situation, as most of you will recall, we have 22% of our sales in 2020 in the regulated market, the ACR, and the 78% remaining in the free market. Right now, CESP's profile is very positive, very favorable, and we have not seen any default issue, zero default, both in the regulated and in the free market. There were a few renegotiation of contracts, very isolated, I'd say not material for CESP, and whose impact were totally offset by the net present value, and they represent less than 1% of the expected EBITDA for this year. Still on page four, we're going to be talking about marketing in more detail moving forward, but still on page four, we also have a snapshot of the Southeast submarket in terms of energy consumption. If we check the year-to-date, January, June, including the first 2 weeks of June, we have a novulation for the Southeast submarket, a drop of -7.8%, or a drop of 7.8% when compared to the previous year. And in the free market, that's for the ACR. In the free market, a drop of 4.6%, which shows a total of 7.8% in the Southeast submarket. Again, year to date, the first 2 weeks of June. Moving on to slide number six of the slide deck, we have the highlights for the second quarter of 2020. We had once again, and that's a tendency you've seen for the past quarters, we've had a generation which is slightly above our physical guarantee, 2% in this case above our physical guarantee, because of the ONS dispatch. And the main driver was, or has been so far, this very dry season in the south of Brazil, and southeastern in particular. And we had to transfer energy to the south, and that led our reference power plants to dispatch slightly above the physical guarantee. Our availability index remains at a very good level at 94.5% in the quarter, slightly above that of the first quarter of this year, and high, consistently above expected levels expected by ANEEL, the regulating agency. The dispatches are normalized. Our contingency plans are light, as it were, both for Porto Primavera and Paraibuna, and also for the transitory operation at Jaguari. So we're operating with normal dispatches across the board. As for the financial performance, we closed the quarter with revenues of 435 million BRLs. In the quarter, it's 32% above the same quarter of last year. And that increase in revenue is due to three factors mainly. The trading contributes to the consolidated revenue of the company. On top of that, the indexing of contracts, when you compare that with last year, of course. And besides the fact that in this quarter, we had a reduction of dispatches of contracts, which was lower when compared to the second quarter of 2019. Because of a energy balance management in the second quarter of last year, we chose to negotiate some reductions for those contracts back then. The adjusted EBITDA for the second quarter came out at 287 million BRLs with an adjusted margin of 59%. And it is also 31% higher than last year's period. Very good result. I'll comment on it in more detail, but we continue in this quarter to reduce the liability contingencies. I will go into that in a moment. And something else which was confirmed, it was a strong cash generation. After the debt service and before two events, the payout of dividends and the disbursement to cover liabilities, we closed the quarter with 263 million BRLs in terms of operating cash flow generation, and a very important cash conversion ratio, which will be detailed by Marcelo in a moment. As for energy trading in the quarter, we have reached a very good energy balance and for the second half, and we'll see that in detail once again in a moment. We also benefited from the drop in prices in the short run, which impacted prices for 2021. We sped up the zeroing of our energy balance for 2021, and we have already working with an eye at 2023. Right now, for 2020, in terms of energy balance, we have covered 83% of our short exposure. Something close in terms of megawatt goes for 2022. We're working layer by layer, and we started selling energy in the long run. So starting 2023, still at moderate levels with a lot of caution, but I apologize for the technical glitch, but we are back. This is Mario once again. And I was completing page number 6, and I was saying that concerning the trading results, we closed the second quarter with a positive NPN of 22 million BRLs. Those 22 million for comparison effects with the first quarter of 2020, which sat at 25 million, will be appropriated in the second quarter. So 22 million BRLs of NPN plus 9, which are appropriated, lead to 31 which are then compared with the 25 filed in the first quarter. Moving on page eight, we have details about our contingent liability. We had closed the first quarter of 2020 at 11.7 billion in total liability. In the second quarter of 2020, we had interest and monetary adjustments of 250 million BRL and a write-down of 1 billion, which led us to close the second quarter with a total liability level of 10.9 million. In the probable variation on the right-hand side, we closed the period at 1.8 billion in probable variation in terms of liability, which have been provisioned for with a write-down of 154 million. The reason for those write-downs are mainly due to two main factors. The first one, favorable rulings coming from the judiciary committee in favor of CESP, and also a review of amounts because of process evolution. Some process and lawsuits evolved favorably to CESP. They have not been sentenced yet, but that led us to a very comfortable position in that respect. Still, we have a reduction in the amounts when we compare quarter-on-quarter. Now on page number nine, we touch upon the lawsuit relative to Três Irmãos. There's news concerning that lawsuit. In July, on July the 10th, the judge made important statements. He requested a few corrections in the digitalization of the processes. You will remember that the process was digitized late last year, so they requested a review of that. As soon as these adjustments in digitization are made, this should be happening in a few days, a couple of weeks at the most, the judge will define a deadline for the expert to analyze the fact. He will give the expert 15 days. This has not started yet. It depends, as I said, on those adjustments we are making, and we'll keep the market informed as this lawsuit evolves. As for the injunction, which is the second part and which is in parallel, no news as of the second quarter of 2020. Moving on slide number 11, we have a few numbers for the energy market. Basically, on the left-hand side of the slide, we have the ANE evolution and the storage level. That's the green curve on the left-hand side. That's the storage level of our reservoirs nationwide. Then we reached the end of July with a storage level of 60%, 7% higher than June last year. That has to do basically with the drop in load because of the COVID-19 situation, first and foremost. In terms of hydrology, we have lower levels, 81%, when compared to 101% for the same period of last year. The drop in load due to the COVID situation led us that even with a lower ANE, we have a higher storage level. As for market and projections from ONS and EPE for the market for this year, that's on the right-hand side of the slide. Basically, based on the current prediction, we should close the year with a load across the nation 3% below what we had last year, around 3%. That's a reasonable recovery when compared to the first projections we had early on in the pandemic. That assumes drops of 1% in the third quarter 2020 and of 3% in the fourth quarter of this year, 2020. That's good news. That's good news for the market as a whole. On top of that, because of this load variation, the CCE, the chamber, has updated its GSF projections for 80% to 80%. That's a level that we here converge with our predictions, and it's slightly higher than the level we had been working with, actually, which is also positive. The higher the GSF, of course, the lower the burden for CESP. On the next page, page 12, we have the energy balance for 2020. Most of you are familiar with those charts, with this slide, so I'll briefly go over it. What we have on chart one is our seasonality curve, the black curve, and which has been adjusted for GSF, which is the dotted green line. On chart number two, we compare the availability of the net physical guarantee with our energy sold, which is the red curve. So originally, we saw a deficit of 300 megawatts average for the year 2020. The way we manage those events are reflected on chart number three, where we have the energy deficit, the same from chart two, and our purchases, which are in green, the green columns. So we bought at an average price of 213 megawatt per megawatt for the year, and the monthly average prices are on the top of the chart, number three. And lastly, the net effect can be seen on chart number four. It's energy balance already equalized for the second half of the year. And we have the third and fourth quarters ahead of us. So that's the position that we have right now. And when we see that difference in the second quarter, which we just closed, most of that, two-thirds of that gap, of that short position, has to do with some of the positions that we took to CCE to be able to release resources which were being withheld because of that endemic default. We are creditors in that respect. So when we do that, we release resources which were withheld at CCE, as I said. So and we managed to do that to free up resources in this second quarter of 2020. I'll give the floor now back over to Marcelo, who will continue with our financial performance. Marcelo, please, you have the floor. Thank you, Mario. Good morning, everyone. Moving on with the presentation, with slide 14, where we'll be talking about costs and expenses. I'll start with personnel, administration, and third-party materials. The second quarter still reflects the transformations which were implemented throughout 2019, positioning CESP in a place where we have more discipline in terms of financial management. As for personnel and administration, in the second half, we had a drop of 26%, and in the quarter, the first half, a total of 39%, a result of a reduction in the number of in the headcount and the success of our volunteer resignation program. As for third-party services, materials, and rents, the drop in the quarter sat at 42%, and it was 46% year to date for this first half, driven by contract renegotiations and process review, which enabled us to capture efficiencies. Now, talking about expenses with energy purchases, we saw an increase in energy purchases of 61 million BRLs, totaling 137 million BRLs. It's important to highlight that this increase refers to a higher volume of energy purchased in the quarter. In this quarter, we acquired 225 megawatt average, with 44% above because of our seasonality strategy with a lower allocation of physical guarantee and a higher need to purchase. But most importantly is to emphasize that the average price in the second quarter was 8% below when compared to the second quarter of last year. We had a 690 million increase in volume. In price, we saw a drop in 8 million, so a 61 million BRLs in net gain. Now, moving on to slide number 15. On the left-hand side, we have the growth of our net revenue at 118 million BRL, or 32%, mainly driven by the revenue from the CESP trading and also driven by the sale that we made to monetize, and also a lower reduction of negotiated contracts last year, as Mario mentioned early on. That implied in a higher volumes of sales. On the right-hand side, on the top right-hand side of the slide, we have the growth of our EBITDA in the quarter, a growth of 68 million BRL or 31%. In the first half, a growth of 140% when compared to the previous year. That EBITDA figure converted in a strong cash generation in the first half. The operating cash generation before debt service reached 62 million BRL, a 92% conversion ratio. 92% takes into account an improvement in working capital, basically due to two items. Number one, the delay of the payment of some taxes in the first half, following government instructions, and two, the monetization of our credit balance at CCE. We have not considered those two items. If we had, the conversion rate would be around 68%, still very robust. Moving on to slide 16, we have the company's capital structure. We have reached, in the second quarter, a net debt of 1.2 billion BRL, a growth when compared to the first quarter because of the dividend payout at 400 million in April, offset by the cash generation in the second quarter, as we just saw. That net debt accounts for 1.1x net debt over EBITDA ratio. Another highlight, yesterday, CESP received a new rating from Fitch and the same rating we had from Standard & Poor's. We are now AAA, local AAA, and internationally, we are capped by the sovereign. It's a different rating. On the right-hand side, we have our gross debt. We have maintained the same level, no major news. The debt sits at 1.8 billion, an average debt term of 4 years, and our amortization only happens by 2022, so we have a comfortable period going forward to be able to manage our capital structure. I now give the floor back over to Mario, who will be talking about the company's key initiatives for 2020. Mario, please.
Thank you, Marcelo. Moving on to page 18 of the deck, I'd like to highlight a few items. Number one, in this second quarter, we have continued, and this should prevail throughout 2020, this very well-disciplined of cost and expenses management. We started a process this year, a process which is stronger and more widespread to automate our processes, and this will lead to gains in the mid to the short run in terms of productivity, in terms of management costs, in terms of precision of information, on top of advancing in our ESG agenda. As for occupational health and environmental agenda, we work with the TOTVM Institute from Holland. We received a GRA certification, one of the first big, large hydropower companies to receive that in Brazil, and that's an acknowledgment of the good job we've been doing in that respect. Starting this month, we can trade our energy along with environmental certification, which is quite important to many of our consumers, as you know. In terms of contingencies, we continue to work on it. We'll give you a timely report of that when the time comes, and all efforts are being directed to address that, and we'll keep the market informed about the Três Irmãos lawsuit. As for energy trading, once we have the energy balance for 2020 down, we'll maintain our focus on managing for 2021-2022 because of the current situation in the market. It is a moment that lends itself for us to speed up our addressing of our short positions, and we'll start implementing our commercial strategy for the long run with a lot of caution, gradually starting selling energy in the long run, as I mentioned. In summary, to close this first part of the call, we are consistent, we are coherent. This has been, once again, another quarter where we had to practice what we preach, right, in terms of results, and positioning CESP as one of the companies which have proven to be very resilient through this very difficult moment the world and Brazil are going through. Once again, I apologize for the technical glitch which interrupted our video streaming. So we had to adopt a plan B. Sorry about that. But we are now ready for our Q&A session. Thank you. We'll now start our Q&A session. To post a question, please press star on 11 on your phone or send your question in writing through our webcast platform. Our first question comes from Carolina Carrieri from Credit Suisse. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for taking my question. Actually, two questions concerning energy trading. Number one, you have sold some volumes of energy in this quarter. You highlighted that in the presentation. 30 megawatts for 2023 and some more gigawatts for 24, 25. I'd like you to comment on the expectations that you have in terms of placing your available energy for the coming years. Can we expect you to follow on that strategy of reallocating that energy to the market after some time? If you could comment on that. Also about the price levels. We saw that in some platforms, prices have reacted and recovered conventional energy prices for some contracts at the level of 160 BRLs, 150 BRLs per megawatt hour, some other contracts with a more attractive price level, 170, 180. So if you could comment on that, I'd appreciate it. Thank you. Hello, Carol. This is Mario. Thank you for your questions. I'll address the first one. As for long-term trading, we have a strategy in place for the long run, which assumes an execution by layer, by phases, according to prices and volumes metrics. And we do that so we're not looking at specific moments where there are concentrations, but we're looking at the long run. And also, we do not want to take volumes to markets which would not be favorable to us in terms of pricing. And as you said, when you compare different positions, there are market prices which vary. For 2023, they are slightly above what you mentioned, actually. And they're basically market prices. So even though the long-term prices have not been much affected by the COVID situation, they did feel some effect in April, May. But as you noticed, those numbers recovered, reacted in the past weeks, in particular, the past month, which led us to go to market. We're not going to announce our volume guidance, because that would be against our interest, as you would imagine. But it would be done in a very cautious way, very well-dosed volumes. We don't want to stress the market. We want to service our clients with market prices, with some, and then try to gauge prices at a slightly above the average. Okay, thank you. So if I could ask then a second question concerning the expert that you mentioned and demunification for 3 months, so that we can understand the meaning of that. What is that expert going to present after those 2 weeks of deadline. And after we made, you made your adjustments in digitization of the process, what is the expert going to do? And once he does what he has to do, what will happen? Do we have a final sentence right after that? We still have some time, another phase of the process. Maybe you mentioned that, but I got disconnected at the very end of your speech. But my issue is trying to understand the status of the process, what happens moving forward. If you will remember, a few months ago, throughout last year, there was room for CESP and the government, the federal government, to present arguments about the expert opinion. Those are public manifestations, and so I'm free to talk about that. And that's when the federal government made more forceful criticism against the opinion. But we do see technical merit in the opinion that was presented in line with the legal prerequisites. So what the judge has ruled is that he will give 15 days for the expert to answer to the criticism made by the government. So the, as soon as the judge allows, the expert will rebut or reply the criticisms made by the government to his expert opinion. From then on, there are a few possibilities. The judge is sovereign. He might listen to the expert and then issue a sentence. There's no impediment to that. A second possibility would be the judge set another deadline for a final hearing, for final says from both parties. He could do that and then issue the sentence after that. And a third possibility, the judge might understand that we should find another expert. That's up to the judge to decide. He is the sovereign. And the conclusion of the process will be either one of those three possibilities. And we'll keep the market informed about that. Thank you very much for your very clear explanation. We are now negotiating again. They are very restricted, but we are still negotiating. And I'd say that there is no understanding as of now that we'll enter into other agreements. That's water under the bridge. The most critical moment for the COVID is passed, as I said. As for dividend payout, I'll start with the last part of your second question. We still work on a very hard work, doing our internal homework, as we call it. We are not in a moment where we are looking to opportunities to grow. We understand there is still a lot of value in terms of de-risking, in terms of productivity gains, in cost management, as for energy balance and our trading strategy. Given that we are a very strong cash generator, it wouldn't make sense to pile up cash if we do not have a specified cash allocation right now. So I don't want to anticipate any movement, but it would be reasonable to imagine that CESP will continue to be a good dividend payout company until a second moment of our evolution. Okay, thank you. Once again, to ask a question, please press star. We have a question from the webcast from Bernardo from SPK. And his question is about what was the problem that we had as we were digitizing the process for 3-0 miles? Thank you, Bernardo. It's not exactly a problem, but the judge understood that parts of the suit, accessory parts for the lawsuit should be included, should also be digitized. And this will be done by the judiciary branch, not by us. He asked the judiciary branch to gather all the documents and digitize everything and all the accessory parts. He wants it to complement the whole thing. So that's something that shouldn't take too long. I wouldn't expect that to take too long. But we're waiting for that to be concluded. I'd say a few days. And then the judge will define the 15-day period for the expert to take a look at it. The next question comes from Carolina Carneiro from Credit Suisse. Hello, everyone. It's me again. Since nobody asked, I'll take the opportunity. You mentioned in your earnings release a high amount of tax credits that could be activated in the future, as it were. If you could give us some more color on the process you have to go through in order to activate and be able to use those credits. Thank you. Hi, Carol. Thank you for the question. This is Marcelo Jesus. We have two different natures for those tax credits. The first and foremost is the tax credit coming from our fiscal loss or tax loss. And one way you have to recognize those credits throughout the time. And once again, this is more an accountant issue. There are some rules that we have to follow. So we have to recognize credits in 10 years. So as the company moves on and we show more stability, more profitability as we have a chance to complement the realization of those credits because others are being consumed. We are generating tax profit. We are offsetting losses. So we use part of it, we consume, quote unquote, part of it, and that opens, makes room for us to use new credits. So they'll come as we consume credits, as I said, and it also comes as we evolve in terms of profitability. That's the nature of those credits, and it's an accounting issue, as I said. And we also can recover taxes. We analyzed the situation and we saw that were surplus payments based on opinion from our counsel. There is a possibility for us to recover those tax credits which were paid in surplus. Part of those credits have been recovered. We recovered that this year, especially from INSS. And there is another portion which will be addressed and recovered in the second half. We do not give a guidance in terms of the amount in case, but the company is quite focused on and disciplined on recovering those amounts because those are important numbers and it means cash for us. Okay, very good. Thank you. Once again, to ask a question, please press star one. Since there are no more questions, I'll give the floor back over to Mr. Bertoncini for his final remarks. I'd like to thank you all for participating, for attending. Once again, sorry for the connection glitches with the operator we had today. And we remain available to all of you to go into more detail about any information you have. Thank you again and have a nice day, everyone. CESP's earnings call is now over. Thank you all for participating and have a nice day, everyone.